But you're not the greatest thing that ever happened, okay? There's an in-between there. You're not the superhero, but you're not a worm either. And I'm looking at the balance of loving yourself as God loves you. I found a quote by Buddy Robinson. It says, "Pride is the only disease known to man that makes everyone sick except the person who has it." So, not looking at pride and arrogance. You know, you are awesome. And we can go overboard on that. In this culture, the message of you are, you can go too far. You can go overboard to neglect others. It's like, yes, we are awesome. Yes, we are wonderful, but so is others. Others are wonderful too. And we want to walk in that balance. So where does your value come from? Where do you get your value? Who determines or what determines your worth? Because we see, it seems like every year towards the end of the year, you see these articles of what movie stars are worth and what billionaires are worth, and they just list all these big numbers. And we forget, though, in that same category of that realm, the broken marriages, the bankruptcies, the substance abuse issues, the premature death issues. Monetary is not necessarily the way we want to define our worth. Yeah. Jesus said, what does it profit if you gain the whole world and yet forfeit your soul or lose your soul? Does our worth come from our parents, our heritage, our bank account, opinions of others? We know it doesn't come from those things. We know it shouldn't come from all those things, but we still allow those things to trip us up. And we still judge ourselves based on our bank account compared to someone else's bank account. Or our gift set based on someone else's gifts. And we compare, and that's what we got to fight against. We were in the airport, and we're killing some time. It was terrible. There was delays, so we had to sit in the sunshine in the window the whole time. It was just for hours. It was... And there was a little girl across the way, and maybe 5 or 6 years old. And just the way she was standing, she had a little baby. And realized that at first, looks like a baby. Then you realize that's not a baby, it's a doll. It's a toy. But it looked like one of those real, just the way she was holding it. And so it's not real. Now, if she got on that plane and forgot her doll, it would be disappointing. But if she got on the plane and forgot her little sister, that would be a disaster. Because of the worth of the difference between a little man-made thing versus a God-made thing. The doll was made in the image of Fisher Price, and was, I looked it up, it was worth about $20. A child is made in the image of God and is priceless, is of beyond worth. And we still believe that children are priceless, which makes the New York abortion law just so mind-blowingly evil, just wicked. But children are incredibly valuable. And so often we tend to think of ourselves as being that $20 worth. That $20 is about what God has on us. And so we don't think of ourselves very highly. And so we justify that God doesn't think of us very highly. And so that's what we got to change. That kind of love is not the kind of love that Jesus is saying, love your neighbor like that. Love your neighbor a little bit, with a little bit of value. And that's what he doesn't want to repeat. We need to know how loved we are, how valuable we are. We are made in the image of God. You are a child of the Most High God. You are little brother, little sister to Jesus, the firstborn from among the dead, and we will follow after him. But if we love others with this cheap value, like we hold to ourselves, everyone loses. Everyone loses because we're not really loving, because we're sitting in this place of little worth. And so we're treating others with little worth. And so they're not receiving the love of God and the love of others that God designed them to receive. And we're not giving out what God intended us to give out to others. And therefore, we're not receiving back. It's just not that cycle's not happening. In fact, a negative cycle, a bad cycle is happening where we kind of sort of honor others and we sort of get honored back. We sort of care a little and we sort of don't care. Don't really care. And that's not what God wants. Where does your value come from? It comes from God. It comes from His opinion that He made you in His image. You're not just a product of man, you're a product of God. Amen. You're His artwork. You're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You literally are God's gift to the world. Can I just say that? I mean, I know we joke about that. You literally, because you were created by God, you're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God had prepared in advance. So you are God's gift. And if you're not walking in those good works that He prepared in advance for you to walk in, then the world is not as good a place as He intended it to be. And it really is I know this is a simple concept, but this is part of the greatest commandments, the two greatest commandments: love others as yourself. Jesus put a heavy load on this. Everything in here hangs on this as one of two of the greatest. Love God first. His love for you is a lavish God, according to 1 John 3:1. And His love for you will never end, according to Jeremiah. And Jesus makes a distinction. I think it's interesting to see that He made a distinction. He said, love God with everything you've got, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He didn't say, love God as yourself. Think about that. He didn't allow that option. Because He knew that that's kind of where we'd go. If He'd have said, just love God as yourself. Oh, and your neighbor too. But He didn't leave that option. You're not to love God the way you love yourself. Because all kinds of crazy things would happen. He didn't leave it open. He specified, no, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, the eternal part of you, the everlasting part of you, with all your mind, intellectually, intelligently, love God. Apply your life to loving Him in every way, with all your strength, with everything you got, with all your money, all your time, all your talents, in every way. That's how you're to love God. And I think, because if we're doing that, you're going to discover how valuable you are, how incredible you are, how incredible it is to know the living God who loves you and made you and formed you and has purpose for you, has provision for you. And then, knowing all that, love your neighbor with that. Love your neighbor with that kind of revelation, with that kind of knowledge and understanding. I just think that's powerful, the order that Jesus laid it out. He's just quoting Old Testament. We need to know what we're worth. It's not bank accounts or parental heritage or skill sets that we may or may not have. All these pass away. All these change over our lifetimes. A lot of them. But God's love for us will never end. You're His child. He will never forget you at the gate. He never leaves without you. Never forsakes you. There's a question in Scripture It says, who shall separate us from the love of God? And it says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. It defines that when you know the love of God, you are an overcomer. You conquer whatever comes against you, whatever comes towards you. When you know the love of God, it helps you to overcome. It's knowing the love of God that gives us value, that gives us confidence, purpose, rewards, all these things. You could spend a day just meditating on the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. That'll change your week. You start your week like that, start your day like that, meditate on how valuable, how cherished you are to the living God. And then it goes on in Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing. No one and nothing can separate us from the love of God. When we believe it, when we hold on to that, our self-worth, our value is what gives us strength to overcome. If you think you're worthless, you're not going to fight. But knowing your worth, by God's definition, gives us that power to overcome. God's love is the one that is patient and kind. His love doesn't boast, isn't rude, isn't proud, doesn't keep a record of wrongs. I mean, that's the kind of love that He has towards us, and that's why He says, this is how I want you to walk in my love. He loved us first. So, the story of when Moses was exiled out in the wilderness, and he encounters the burning bush. And it's the angel of the Lord in this bush speaking to him. And it's God, and God says, I've seen the misery of my people, Israel. I heard their cry, and I'm sending you to go deliver them out of Egypt. And this incredible, incredible call on his life. And what does Moses say? Who am I? Who am I to go to Pharaoh? I can't do that. And he says, I'm not a good public speaker. I'm a nobody to Pharaoh. And of all the people that in the natural would qualify, I mean, Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, raised in Egypt under the leadership and the provision of the most powerful nation on earth at the time. He understood the culture, the language, the ways of the Egyptians and the ways of the Israelites. He understood the way of the desert. He survived being in the desert, raising sheep for his father-in-law. He understood taking care of another person's property. He understood traveling in the wilderness. He understood the culture of Egypt and Israel. Of all the qualifications, all the good things on a resume that could be put there, he had the best. And do you think, what did God remind him? What did God promote? Did God remind him of all those things? Wait a second, Moses, you have this gift, you have that gift, you have this experience, He didn't bring up any of that. God consoled him in his fear of accepting this call with exactly the way he would console you when he calls you to do something great for him. He doesn't focus on your gifts, your strengths, your abilities. He says, I will be with you. Yeah. He doesn't bring up a single qualification that Moses had many of. He says, I the Lord Almighty will be with you. I will give you what you need to know and what you need to do when you need it. And that's the same kind of love that God has for us. Is we are valuable because we are made in His image. If you've given your life to Christ, you have been given the right to become a child of the living God. And He cares deeply for you and will never leave you and will never forsake you and knows every minute of your day and what you need and will provide and guide you. And you are the number one thought in His mind, which is amazing that He can do that with billions of people. And what was Moses known as, the person who had this characteristic more than anyone else on the face of the earth? Humility. It says Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. And because he knew the love of God. He knew the love of God that would see him through this incredible, one-of-a-kind mission that he was given to lead millions of people out of 430 years of slavery from the most powerful nation on the earth. And he did it with incredible supernatural signs and wonders. And it says, there'll be a sign to show you, to convince you that it's me calling you. You will worship me at this same mountain out in the wilderness. And that, I think, is no coincidence that this incredible call that's way beyond what we could do, and the goal of it is you will be a worshiper. You will know God so well in this impossibility that you will become a worshiper of God. And that goes back, what are we to do? Love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as yourself. And who was Jesus quoting? Bible quiz. Who was Jesus in Matthew 22, our memory verse? Who was he quoting? Moses. He was quoting Moses out of Deuteronomy 6, and then he added the Leviticus 18:19, and love your neighbor as yourself. But that command, the greatest command, came through Moses. And Moses knew the incredible presence of God like no other. Moses lived that verse. Moses experienced that kind of worship. God spoke to Moses face to face, not like any other. He loved God, and he knew that. I mean, his humility came because he knew that it was way beyond anything that he could ever have done or been smart enough for. And that's the same with you. It's like, don't be thinking about your gifts and your qualifications and your experiences and your wisdom. And God gave Moses a lot of that. And it's all good, but that's not what it's based on. The love of God is not based on your good looks, your good smarts, your good bank account. Know the love of God for you first, and I just encourage you to meditate on that. And from that revelation, from that overload, to where you're overflowing with, okay, thank you, God, for your great love. You love me. You gave your life. You sent your Son. You left heaven. You came to earth. You suffered and died. You were buried. You rose from the dead, all to make a way for me to be reconnected to the eternal Father, to my Father in heaven. And let that sink in deeply, and then go love your neighbor like that. Go love your neighbor knowing that all your needs are provided for, all your finances are taken care of, all your, God is aware of all of it and taking care of all of it. And you don't need to be in, you know, the orphan has to grab hold of what he can to hold to himself because he might not get that next meal. The orphan has to grab what he can. The son knows his father is going to provide, so his son can freely give, freely share, because he knows where that came from, there's more. To hold on as a child of the King, freely you've received, freely give. It's a pretty simple concept, but it affects everything. Yeah, you want to share something? Sure.
I have a favorite illustration that maybe you've seen before, but it just speaks a lot.
Mm-hmm. No, I've thought about it, but I just decided not to.
Yeah, sorry, we didn't. That's this great. Is unrehearsed. But
this is my wife.
This is a $20 bill, and we could have, you know, 10 people, you know, saying how nice and crisp and clean this is, and, you know, how much, you know, that's the nicest $20 bill. I could praise it all day long, but it's still going to be worth $20. And the other thing is I could take it, I could...
Whoa.
I could go like this.
Whoa, no.
I could call it ugly. I could spit on it. You know, I could say it's a loser. It's never going to amount to anything. And its worth is still $20 because the worth didn't come from me or from the people around it that spoke over it. But the worth was determined by something higher. It was determined by the U.S. government, the U.S. Treasury, and who knows what it's really worth. But but
you get the idea.
That's beside the point. But over our lives too, a lot of times we base our value on what we perceive people think about us, on you know how we're doing per week. It's like, yeah. Well, I had a really good week. Yeah. You know, my worth is, you know, up here. But then the next week, someone calls me ugly or worthless or whatever, or, you know, something happens where I feel like a failure, and then I feel like my worth is down there, and we really mm-hmm. need to get it into our hearts that our worth isn't based on the people around us or how good we're doing. It's not even based on our own selves. It's based on what God thinks about us, and the way to get mm-hmm. secure in that isn't to just say, yeah, it's based on what God thinks about me, but to actually start writing down, you know, getting your journal out or whatever, and start writing down the actual things that God does say about us, what those things are, mm-hmm. you know, that his attitude towards me is kind, that he's patient with me, that his love is everlasting, that he's faithful, he's never going to leave me. All those things, if we just say, yeah, God will keep all his promises to me and never identify what those promises are, mm-hmm. then we don't know what that is. But it's up to us, you know, that's why the word, being in the word is so important, just to get that in you and to understand how God, what those things are that he actually does think about you.
Amen. So. Make it real practical. Write them on cards. Put them on your mirrors. Remind yourself, because the world will beat on you every day. The messages in the culture will beat on you and deny everything that was just said. And so we need to remind ourselves of a higher authority, the highest authority, and what he thinks, what he says. It's not based on circumstantial evidence. It's based on the eternal truth of his word. So when you know you're loved, and this is so important, when you know you're loved, you stop striving for significance because you know you are already significant. You're not trying to get there. You are there. And when you are there, it's so much easier to love others with a godly, wonderful love. So let's do our memory verse one more time to close. Can you put that up there? Thank you. Good. Good. So So, what? Here we go. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Way to go. Give yourselves a hand. Way to go. That was good. So, all right. I just want to close in prayer. I know there's plenty of people who struggle with self-worth. I know that is a common thing. I'm not going to ask you to identify yourselves or anything like that, because there's nothing new under the sun when it comes to the devil's accusations. But I do want to pray. I want to pray, and I do want everyone to bow your heads, and I want to pray for us all, but I want to pray specifically for those who struggle. And Father, I just thank you, God, for your spirit that's able to overcome battles of worthlessness. And I pray, God, that you would shine your love, your heart, your life over those, and God, break through into those battles, Lord, with your truth, God, with your powerful truth that can break every chain that came and broke through every barrier to reveal your great love. Father, pray for everyone who struggles with feelings of worthlessness, or even not in an extreme way, but just even in a small way, that they listen to the lies, they believe the accuser. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak loud and clear of your great love that came to set them free. Lord, set us free, God, to believe you, to take you at your word, to know that we were created by you. We are not an accident. We are not an incidental chance thing that happened between people, but we were on your mind from before we were formed in our mother's wombs, that you created us with a purpose. You created us to be with you forever and to be in your presence here in this life and eternally. God, you have given us great purpose. You have given us great promises that you will never leave, you will never forsake. And you are preparing a place right now for us individually and corporately, Lord, that to be with you forever. A place that will be uniquely wonderful. That a place that will be near you and with you forever. God, help us to meditate on this, to let it sink in, so that the quality of the love that we know that you have for us will overflow into the lives of others around us. So that the security that we know through your love will help us overcome offenses and issues that this world will no doubt throw our way. Lord, thank you for your great acceptance, and that you demonstrated your great love for us. While we were still sinners, you died for us. Thank you, Jesus. And I do want to pray. I know most everyone in this room knows and loves God and has been born again, but there may be some in this room, and I just want to say that I believe God brought you here because he wants to tell you this message, that he loves you and that he knows that apart from him, there is no eternal life with him. That heaven is not an automatic thing. And I need to let you know that you can know the Almighty God. You can know God right now in this life. You can know Him. You can know that you are forgiven. You can know that you are saved, that you don't have to wonder. You don't have to just hope that you're going to go to heaven someday. But you can know why you're going to go to heaven someday. You can put your trust in Jesus. And I just want to encourage anyone here that if you don't know Jesus, to put your trust in what He did, to acknowledge that you need to repent of sin. You need to turn and give your life and control of your life over to Jesus Christ. You can know the love of God. You can know the freedom of guilt and shame, freedom from all those things. Put your trust in Christ, who lived and died and rose again to pay the punishment for your sins so that you don't have to be punished for them. You need to know. I want you to know before you leave the room, talk to someone. There'll be people up here to my left to pray with you to confirm that. We want to help you know and want to help you grow. So I want you to let us know so we can help you. Father, just pray that you'd help us to receive your great love. Receive it, Lord, so that we can give out from that abundance. Just thank you, Lord. Bless our day. We trust you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.